Good evening, this is Rabbi Mayevsky. This week we have a double parsha, Baharim B'chukosai, and we finished the Sefer of Vayikra, which of course had everything to do with various and sundry mitzvos, but mostly concerned with Kohanim, especially at the beginning, and we finish off with the Tochacha in B'chukosai. And the first question that is commonly asked, the first Rashi, is Mayin Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. What is the Shmita have to do with Har Sinai? But the truth of the matter is, why at this point would it say Bahar Sinai? Halo kol ha-mitzvos nishnas b'Sinai? Weren't all the mitzvos taught on Sinai? Certainly they were. And Moshe, of course, was given the job to disseminate them as he saw fit in their proper time. But the reason that we could have said Bahar Sinai at the beginning of every parsha or any other parsha, certainly, but why at this juncture? And the obvious answer for that is, if we take a look, we go back to last week's parsha, it ended off with a question with the Nokev Shem Hashem, when the person who cursed the name of God, Moshe had to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what should be done with him? So one might think to ask the question, if Moshe Rabbeinu had to ask God what to do, then possibly he did not learn everything on Sinai. And of course he did, but of course we said last week that everybody agreed that he had to be done away with, but the question was, what would be his misa, what mode of execution would he have to undergo, because they weren't sure whether he was considered a Jew, considered a non-Jew, because it was not spoken out whether it's a matrilineal or patrilineal society at this point. We know, of course, that it's matrilineal, but nevertheless, at that juncture, the people were not sure exactly. It hadn't been spelled out. But more than that, we have to ask ourselves that so many of the laws in this week's parsha, from the beginning to the end, with dealing with Shemitah and Yovel and all the laws that we've had with the Mishkan and all the Karbonis up to this point in time, and what was the reason for the, so to speak, this interlude with all the mitzvot that we have at this point with all the Kohanim. And the truth of the matter is, because everything seems to be concerned with reestablishing our faith. And the truth of the matter is, after the Maisa Egel, previous to the Maisa Egel, everybody had been on this tremendous spiritual plane after experiencing the heavens open up and seeing the Kisei HaKavod and everything that they saw and witnessed. But then a few weeks later, along comes the Egel, and it knocks them down to the depths of despair and to almost God wanting to get rid of them and start B'nai Israel all over again with Moshe Rabbeinu. And what happens now is God has to reestablish, to reinvent them in terms of reestablishing their faith in God. And that's why I entitled tonight Faith. And of course, what do you want to mean by the interest in faith? Because in the beginning of Parshas Bahar, it has a lot to do with interest. But getting back to the thought process, so the first thing that we have is Truma Tetzaveh Kisisa Vayaka Pekudei, all about the aftermath of the Egel. So Moshe is given the commandment to build the Mishkan to expiate the sin of the Egel. And once that we've finished with the building of the Mishkan, and now it's time to find out exactly the uses of the Mishkan and how it would be the service that we need. So we start the first few parshas with Kedusha, with the first two parshas, certainly, with bringing all the karbonis that would be necessary, Chatos, Asham, Zvachim, Shlomim, all the different karbonis that one would be required to bring in the Mishkan, the uses of it. And we have the Begodim of the Kohen Gadol, and the Begodim of a regular Kohen. All of these things are necessary. And then we move on to the next step of what we eat to remain holy. We're building up once again our level, the Madrega that we've been missing, once again to reestablish the Kedusha in Klal Yisrael, because they've lost it all. It's been knocked down to the basement, so to speak. And so we have to learn what to eat at the end of Parshas Shemini, and to remain kadosh with Tazria Mitzora, what we eat and what we could do to remain holy. And of course, we get to Achrimos Kedoshim with Yom Kippur, and then all the laws that the V'chai Bohem that we have to listen to, but to listen to it as long as we can live by them. But all the laws between man and God, keeping Shabbos again and keeping Yom Tovim, as we had last week, to bring us back to the Madrega where we were before the Egel. And then we come along, which is we're building to a certain level. And of course, we come to Shemitah and Yovel. And the reality is that Shemitah and Yovel, keeping them, is the pinnacle of absolute faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what do I mean by that? It's very simple. The faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, imagine that if I would tell you right now that, you know, you could go start to work, and you work for 6 years, and along comes the seventh year, and I tell you, just relax, don't work, it's time to sit and learn Torah, you're not going to work this year, and you would think you have mortgage payments, you have all these things, how am I going to survive the next year? And what's more so, imagine if it's the seventh cycle, and then you have a Yovel year where you're not going to work again 2 years in a row, how in the world can I survive? The level of faith that takes is staggering. And, of course, we see what happens when we get to Bichu Kosai. It's very simple that we get to Bichu Kosai. God is warning us what will happen if we don't obey and observe the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, which is very interesting. It's the pinnacle of faith, as we said. And it takes a tremendous degree. And along those lines, it also tells us, imagine not being able to plant, not being able to reap the harvest of things that you have planted, not to go into the field at all, to worry and to think what's going to be. You have that faith in God that He will come up with everything that you need. What am I going to do? But more than that, even the money that you accrue in the first 6 years, if you were lucky enough to be able to amass amount, even in your own mind, to put away for the Shemitah year, you were able to do it, like the 7 years of plenty in Mitzrayim, you were able to put aside in half of that year. And there are people, of course, who maybe the crops failed for certain areas, for certain people who are less fortunate than you are, you were not as forward-thinking as you, and they would ask you for help, and you would lend them money, and along comes the Shemitah year, and now you were saving this money, and along comes the longer Shemitah, and when you try to regain the money that you lend to somebody, and suddenly it's Shemitah. I don't have to pay you back. It's Shemitah. It's Yovel. All the people, the slaves that I've had, are able to now go free. If it's a Jewish slave, he's going free. All the land that I bought, if I was able to buy land at a good price, I would have to return the land. Imagine all of these things. The level of faith that one would have to exhibit is a staggering level of faith. And that's why the reality was, why God is telling us, waiting till we build, when we have Emor and Kedoshim and Achrimos and all these laws that we've had before, to trying to build that level of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring us back to where we were. Imagine the weeks that after they left Sinai, they experienced Matan Torah, they experienced the splitting of the sea, they experienced getting water from a rock and man from heaven and the slav and all these things that were heaven sent that they experienced firsthand, that had to bring them to an amazing level of spirituality, and that was all lost with the Maase Egel. And God needs to raise them up once again by giving them all the laws that have to do with spirituality, to bring them up to that point before we could start getting into the regular life of everyday life, because they were about to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael. Which brings us to the next point, because we learn all about Shemitah and Yovel, and we learn about, in this parasha, there is two types of Shemitah, the Shemitah's Ksofim and the Shemitah's Karka. In this parasha, all that it has to talk about is Shemitah's Karka, about land, the land returning to its regular owner. Mishnas Hayovel Hazos, Toshuvu Ishal Achuz Haso, and at the all the debts that are canceled, but it doesn't mention that in Mishpatim. It mentioned about Shmitas Kusafim, but we have to repeat it here. But why mention only Shmitas Karka at this point in time? Not mention Shmitas Karka, not mention Shmitas Kusafim, for this very simple reason that Moshe, as I said, had the job to do was to tell them as they need it. And once again, to reestablish that if they're going into the year, when they're coming into the land the first year, which is supposedly going to be when we get to Baaloscha in a few weeks, they were about to, Nosim Anachnu, as we say so many times, they were about to march into the land, and they needed to know all about Shmitas Karka. Shmitas Kusafim would not be for another 6 years after, and they could be instructed that at a later date, certainly. So everything is on a need-to-know basis, but Moshe is most concerned that they would bring themselves back to that faith. And we know that there's the time at the beginning of the parasha, it says Yovel three separate times. One is the Yovel, the Jubilee year, is the 50th year, and it's you blow the shofar on the 50th day. In the 50th year, the shofar is blown. But we have, what is the symbolism? We notice that the seven is constantly being used again and again. And what we're told, if we've already learned this, that Yimeshno Seyim Bohem Shivim Shana, we are given, we are all entitled to 70 years on this earth. And the first 10 years, in other words, we see the symbolism of everything of Pesach and Sukkot, Vayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, Vayom HaShvi'i Mikra Kodesh, but the 5 days of Chol HaMoed in between, we could do all our work. And then once again, the symbolism there is if we divide up our lives into 7 years, 70 years, each day of Yontif is symbolized by a 10-year period. At the first 10 years of life, you're growing up in the home with your parents raising you, learning all the things that are necessary to go forward in life. And the next 50 years, the next 5 days, the next 50 years of Chol HaMoed is when we earn our living. And then at the last 10 years, Vayom HaShvi'i Mikra Kodesh, and the seventh cycle, the seventh 10-year cycle, which is the last day symbolized by the last day of Yontif, is once again to reestablish, to reacquaint ourselves with the Torah, with all the laws, before we leave this earth to once again raise our spirituality that we might have lost in the 50 years of work. We see that with a lot of people. It's becoming more and more prevalent in the world today. There are so many kollels for older people. Years ago, you didn't see that, but we've experienced so many of these places opening up, and a lot of people who are they're joining these things, and it's actually it's like 10 years that I've been going to one of these things after I retired from my weekday job, and it's been very rewarding to be able to sit and learn and know that this is all I am able to do, this is all I have to do, rather, and it's go to bed early in the morning, get up and thinking about learning, going to sleep at night, thinking about Chumash, preparing various shiurim that we have to give. And this is a blessing if we could attain that status. Of course, you know, we hopefully we live 80, 90, 100 years old, but to apportion our lives accordingly, to use it properly. And v'havarto shofar tu'a b'chodesh ha'shvi'i. When do we do that? We blow the shofar at the end of Yovel. What we have to do is blow that shofar even on Rosh Hashanah, when we know that Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos. We do not blow the shofar. We put it off till Sunday when it comes out on Shabbos. But interestingly enough, at the Yovel year, if it's Shabbos comes out, Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, we blow the shofar even on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur. We blow that shofar. Why is that? Well, very simply, because that happens only once in 50 years, whereas Rosh Hashanah, for two reasons, happens twice, it's 2 days a year, and we have the ability for a makeup day. If Shabbos is the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we could blow on the second day. But we learn from Be'asor LaChodesh B'Yom HaKippurim, since it says it in a double lashon. We learn from the second time it says B'Yom HaKippurim, because somebody might go through his whole life, 50 years of not having heard the shofar on Yovel. If he misses it, what is the chances that he will make it to 100 or 90? In those days, certainly not very likely. And therefore, he would go through the whole life. And we blow that shofar to signify Kili Ha'aretz. God knows that everything goes back. Shmitas Karka and Shmitas Karka, the Yovel, everybody goes free at that point in time, because only God, Kili Ha'aretz, there is nothing that is forever, save one thing. Only God is forever. We see that in Bahar. We see that in Kukosai. There is one thing that is Litzmisus, is a forever deal, and that is God was there at the beginning, Ani Rishon V'Ani Acharon, and nothing else. No matter what you acquire in this world, it leaves you. Nobody takes it with them. And these are the things that we have to keep in mind, and that's why at the end of the Tochacha, we come to the end of Pachu Kosai, and we have to say Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, because as we've mentioned so many times, but it's always good to mention it again, after the Ma'aseh Egel that we finish off Shemos with, we build the Mishkan, and now we're ready to use it. We start off on our high hopes, and we wait for the being able to use it, and God has now forgiven Klal Yisrael, but he sees the future. And even though the future is bright at this point in time, we're learning all the mitzvos in Achrimos, in Kedoshim, in Emor. We have all the things that have brought us up to a new level of spirituality. But God is once again reminding us that this is all Vatoki Ha'aretz Eshel Shveha. If we do not live up to the laws that God has set forth to us, most of all, the faith, and how do we exhibit that faith, is to show that we have certainly tremendous faith in God in the seventh year when we do not plant, and we have to rely totally on God's good graces. And of course, the obvious thing is, there are many people that say that the people would want to speculate that the Shemitah is good for the land to rest for 1 year, but it has nothing to do with that, because if that were the case, then why in the sixth year would God say the crops will, the yield from the crops will be double what they've been before? It should get increasingly less. It should be going down the trend from year to year. After the first, second, third, fourth, the yield should be less in each succeeding year. Until the sixth year, it should be the least of all. When God says the miracle will be in the sixth year, you will have enough, especially if it's in the Yovel cycle, that seven-year cycle where the Yovel will be, you will have Ad HaShana HaTashiyis until the ninth year, when you're able to bring in the crops, when you're able to finally live off the land once again for the next Shemitah cycle. And this is why it is so important, and to bring this level. And if we have this level, if God is telling us one thing, we may have, there are people that ask me, and we talk about it so many times, that people have a lot of tzoras, obviously. But the reality is that God says, you could scream at me, you could yell at me, you could be unhappy, but as long as you're screaming at me, the interesting thing is, he says, then you still believe I'm there. But if in Telchui Mikeri, if you lose your faith in God, if you lose the expectation that, or the knowledge or the feeling that God is no longer there, there is no God that's running the world, then Pentieh Oresh Shmama, then the land will be desolate, then you will leave the land and you will go into exile. And this is the ramifications of not having that level of faith. But to reach that level of faith, we have to go back and review all of Sefer Vayikra to bring us back to the level that we were after Matan Torah. May we all attain that level and have that level of faith to give us the next year as we now approach. We just had Lag BaOmer, which is another sign of hope. We know that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, what they had, they gave us the hope that even in the worst of circumstances, Rabbi Akiva losing his 24,000 students, but starting from scratch and never losing hope. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who was willing to speak up and risk his life for the Jewish citizens, they give us the hope. May we see the other people around us who follow these lessons. May it raise our level of hope, and may it give us the courage to go on and build a Torah society. Thank you, and have a good evening.